Welcome to the Path to Profit podcast with your hosts, Dr. Manette Riordan and Brad Dobson. You're doing the intro.
I'm doing the intro. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Path to Profit podcast with Dr. Manette Riordan and my fabulous husband, Dr. Brad Dobson. Mr. Brad
Dr.
Dobson.
Brad Dobson.
He just got upgraded,
I'm
you know.
I'm a long way from a PhD.
You are a long way. It's not never a PhD, though.
Someday I might go back to school,
someday.
But I don't know.
Be like your grandmother and get a PhD in your 60s just
That's
for
right.
the fun of it,
That's right?
Right. Anyway, hi, we're the co-founders of the Path to Profit Academy and the Path to Profit podcast, where we talk about what's important to creative entrepreneurs to get you on the path to profit and keep you there. We cover a lot of money, marketing, mindset, branding, and sales are a couple of our last podcasts. And today is just Brad and I. And I want to tell you why it's just Brad and I and why sometimes you see just the two of us. Sometimes it's because I didn't do my job and find guests. That's the awesome truth. But for the summer,
we like doing this together.
We do like doing it together. And for the summer, we're trying to get ahead because we actually want to take a vacation, right? So we have some great travel plans coming up for summer, including 2 weeks at Brad's family cottages on the coast of Nova Scotia, where he grew up. Mm-hmm. And we want to have shows in the bank. And so the fastest way to do that is just do it ourselves.
Just to create.
Just to create, which is kind of the theme of our show today.
In fact, I invented a new word for this show. It's called overcreating.
Overcreating.
Yes.
It is called overcreating. I am the queen of overcreating.
Yeah, we're awfully good at getting excited about a new shiny thing that we could create. Whether it's a new webinar for y'all or
don't forget the quote.
New blog posts, new fun stuff, a new course. It's really easy for us to do that creation. Manette especially. But sometimes that doesn't serve us.
You get
us.
Caught up in those fun conversations too.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. In fact, we've been having a couple of these conversations this morning in our weekly planning and realized that we felt like it was really important to share with you about what is the concept of overcreating, how it can impact your business, and what to do instead. And to get us started, I found the perfect quote from Walt Disney, one of my heroes. The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing. Brad and I are good at talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk a blue streak.
We will. And when we're talking, we get really excited about our new ideas. So like many of you who are listening to this show, you struggle with bright, shiny idea syndrome, and it's hard to focus in on the ideas that will make you consistent income in your business. And Brad and I are very conscious of this in ourselves, how this impacts us, slows us down. We have a lot. I especially have a lot for this business. This is my fifth year in the business. Brad's been in the business a year and a half now. I've created a lot of content, a lot of programs, projects, and ideas, and a lot of them we keep repurposing. Right? And yet, even with the repurposing, it seems like a new idea. So one of the coolest things and smartest things that Brad did for us was to sign us up for this amazing...
I do that every once in a while.
Every once in a while. One of them was to sign us up for this amazing Business Acceleration Masterclass. So why don't you tell them about that and how that led to the playbook?
Yeah, definitely. So that's our major coaching program that we've invested in this year is the Business Acceleration Masterclass that Entreport puts on. Which is the CRM and email system that we use. And they just happen to be based here in the Santa Barbara area, which made it very easy. And if you're going to come to Entrepalooza, which is their main event, you can see us there. That would be fun. But I really wanted something that was going to provide business coaching outside of the... of actual coaches that are providing that type of service. I wanted someone with a more traditional business to show us what they've done. And that's what we're getting from the Business Acceleration Masterclass, affectionately known as BAM. And it's really cool because we get FaceTime with their president and their founder showing us the mistakes they made, the great things they do, the things they do okay, you know, really lifting the veil on a business that's 110 people and is many millions of dollars, but is also consistently voted high as one of the best places to work. And
they've been able to really successfully scale.
I think
that's the most important thing is, and they're really transparent, as we try to be, about the mistakes they've made along the way.
Yeah.
As well.
And this was also a chance for us to be a little fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can seem kind of weird if you're just a solopreneur or you have a business partner and yet you're in a coaching program with people that already have 50 people in their company and are battling different battles. But what you find is that many of those battles play out in the same way, just at a different scale. And so we're really getting some foundational and fundamental things in place that up our game from, you know, frankly, where we were when it was just Manette alone with a VA, just getting one-on-one clients. We have to play a different game to grow. So that's kind of an overview of the Business Acceleration Masterclass. And what we did in our last session with them, which was, I guess, just last month, was we worked on our playbook, or what they call a focus guide. And Manette's been
focus guide. I really like the words focus guide. We have a lot of play. We need more focus. Right.
And if you're on YouTube, you can see we've got a little two pager, and they do a nice little bound version of it. But it's an incredibly effective way to come up with a focus guide that you can then filter new ideas with. And that's what we want to talk about today, is when you get into that mode of overcreating, it helps to be able to go back to this focus guide.
It does. And I love that the focus guide starts in a place we start with so many of our clients, which is getting really clear about your mission and about your values and how you can drive your business profits from a place of core values and from a mission to create change in the world, right? So our mission is that we empower creative women entrepreneurs to share their unique brilliance with the world while creating financial freedom. Because there's a lot of women, amazing women and men as well, out there sharing their unique brilliance, but they either don't know how to monetize it, or they're riding a crazy income roller coaster and they would love to be creating steady income, us included, right? I mean, we're creating steady income and we want to keep up-leveling that to higher and higher levels, to where, I don't know what the goal of that is. So funny, it's like I get caught up. I had a conversation with one of my clients this morning who goes blank when numbers pop into her head, right? And then I was sharing, playing a game with my kids last night where they were giving me a hard time about doing slow math in my mommy head. And this is the creative thing, right? Is being able to tie our creative goals to our financial goals. And so it may seem really counterintuitive what we're going to talk about today, which is to actually stop creating, know when to stop creating. And it's really hard for me to say that. So, because I love to create.
Yeah, especially for someone who loves content creation, loves curriculum creation, for, you know, courses,
webinars,
anything.
I was a teacher in a former life. You know, one of those stories, I don't know that I have shared that thoroughly. We had this great podcast last week. I hope you guys heard it, with Tiffany Scott, talking about branding and about sharing your stories. And one of the things that she said was that you need to dig into the archives of your stories and look at what stories you're not sharing that would resonate with people.
So what story have you not been sharing?
I haven't really shared the one about my love of being a school teacher. Mm. So not only did I love connecting with my students at the university and the high school level, I loved creating curriculum, right? It's a really favorite part, but that love of creating curriculum isn't always a gift.
That's true. That's true. And so that's where the playbook comes in handy, is that we can, when all of a sudden, oh, I have a great idea, and it's a multi-module course with videos and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, okay, that's wonderful. Maybe we can monetize it. Maybe we can make $30,000 off launching it. But it doesn't fit with the thematic goal that we've set for our company.
So pause for a moment, back up and share what a thematic goal is and why that's the important part of the playbook.
So yeah, back to this playbook. For those of you on YouTube, you can see. So the main section of it is to state what your company's main focus is for the next 9 to 12 months. And it's the major focus that you're going to put on everything that your company does. And it's not to say that you can escape from, oh, I have to sell more, but when you are creating, it needs to be filtered through that thematic goal. And ours is to increase our email list and our community engagement, fivefold?
Yeah.
Which is
it's a big challenge.
It's a stretch goal. But every time we talk about, oh, let's create this course, or oh, let's create this, or oh, let's create that, we can go back to our playbook and say, well, yeah, maybe not, because we simply don't have the bandwidth, the mental focus, the time focus, just anything to achieve that new creation and maintain our focus on this thematic goal.
So let's give a really specific example. So it's really important that we're doing promotion for our business, that we're generating income. So I want to touch for a moment on what Landon said about why not to have your thematic goal be a sales goal. Now, if you're new in business,
Landon is the founder of
Vonderport, Landon Ray. And so if you're at a place where you're just starting in your business, a sales goal could be really important. We're at a place where building our email list is more important because we know it will generate the sales that we want to see flowing into our business. But he said that if you're focused only on sales, that it can actually limit your creative ability to generate projects that will move your company forward from the perspective of scale. So just noticing that conversation around always being so hard focused on, I got to get clients, creates desperation and it actually kills creativity. So we're having this crazy conversation today about when creativity is supporting you and when it's not supporting you. And so we're in a place in our business where constantly creating new promotions isn't the most valuable use of our time. And instead, reflecting back on what do we already have that we can do a way better job that we never gave a great chance of promoting in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, this is no different than when you walk out to your car today and it's dirty inside and it's dirty outside. Things get dusty here in California. And we're not that good at taking care of our cars. You know, it's not a huge priority for us in terms of washing them. But sometimes you go out and it's dirty. And you know, your mind starts going to, I could buy a new car. Or I want a new car, a fresh new car. As opposed to, you know what, I could clean that and it would look great. So we have the same issue with a lot of our promotions. A lot of the things that we're working on where we need to, rather than, oh, that didn't work, let's try something else, rather than take that attitude, which we definitely have in the past, and sometimes it's appropriate. But what's far more appropriate is, let's experiment with cleaning this up, or optimizing this, or getting a better conversion rate here, or writing a better subject line for this part of an email autoresponder, such that maybe we get a little bit more traction on this one call to action. I brought a lot of lingo into that, but I'm hoping that you get the point, is that if you have a lot of these things in place, maybe you spent all of last February writing an autoresponder sequence that people got after they opted in to your free giveaway. Well, go back to your email program and see what your open rate is like. See what your click-through rate is like. What could you do with that autoresponder to test something new, to improve it and get better at it? Because that's where you're going to actually eventually succeed. Sure, there's people out there that are going to be able to create an amazing thing that is just effortlessly going to make $1 million. But I'm guessing that's not you or I. And quite frankly, Manette and I, like I said, we're able to create like crazy. A lot of the people that we work with, they really struggle with creating at all. So there's always going to be people out there that are able to create more and maybe create faster, but where you're going to make the money is in the details of taking what you have that has already resonated with clients and improving it and improving it and improving it and continue to improve it and get better and better at that one thing, rather than going for a breadth of many things that you haven't done well at, because you really needed to improve your chops on how to make those autoresponders convert better, how to make those landing pages draw people in better.
So I love
boy,
that.
Boy, I got on a horse
you
there.
You did. It was awesome. And it's such great, useful information. So let me get really practical and show how we put this into place today. So our thematic goal is basically to 5x our list size by the end of the year, right? So we have 7 months to do that. So we have this super aggressive goal. And then from that goal, we can create projects that are specific to meeting that goal. So we had a great idea for a project, which was to create a new webinar for this summer. And we thought, oh my gosh, this will be so much fun and it'll be really useful and our clients will love it and it will help us meet our thematic goal. And we forgot to take into consideration the fact that our son was graduating from high school, that we had in-laws coming to visit, that Brad was going to Vancouver to celebrate his daddy's 80th birthday.
That's right.
Which is happy birthday, Fred. And that there was all these other things going on. And to create something entirely new at this point was stressful. So we sat down for our Monday meeting and Brad's like, I'm so stressed out. There's so much to do. I don't know how we're going to get this done. So we went back to our playbook, back to our focus guide, back to our thematic goal and said, is this really in alignment with what we said that we want to do and how we want to create and scale our business? So we opted to take that webinar off the table and to do something different that's much simpler, that's based on content we've already created. One of my most favorite mantras in business is create once, think multiple uses. Create once, think multiple uses. And so to do that, we're basically creating a new lead magnet all about how to get yourself in front of the right clients, because this is what we get from our clients all the time. It's not just getting in front of clients or getting more clients, but how do we get in front of the right clients? Like, we're crystal clear about who the right clients are for us, and we have a thriving community full of those clients, and it makes our job that much more fun and that much more profitable. And it makes marketing so much easier by knowing exactly who we're marketing to, right? So this whole conversation that we were having was a great example of how we derailed ourselves with our love of creativity.
Over-creating.
So we went down the path of over-creating instead of just repurposing. Right? Instead of just repurposing. And I think it's so important to remember how much great content you already have. And I think for me, what I've learned in the last 5 years is how much time it actually takes to promote stuff, right? That really it takes so much more time than I think it will to do what Brad was saying about testing and looking at what's working, giving things time to be optimized.
Yeah, you really need.
So it's not about creating new stuff. It's about focusing in on the details. So maybe you could share a little bit about what we've learned from our Facebook ad funnel that we're working on this year in terms of that.
Yeah, definitely. So we made not an insignificant investment into having or working with a great team to build an evergreen webinar funnel out of our creative business archetype quiz, and lots of technology behind that just to get it nailed up and actually functioning, so that people could get from the quiz and we get the quiz results and they'd opt in and then they could register for the webinar and watch the webinar. And there are, oh gosh, maybe 7 or 8 different autoresponder sequences of multiple emails each. So it's a lot of work just to get that going. And we finally got it going, I guess, by the end of March or so. And so there's a letdown after that because we worked really hard and, you know, foot off the gas. Hey, we get a break. Well, and then, you know, we start to get opt-ins coming in and we start to get data back. And it was clear from the start that the team we're working with, who are real pros at this, they do everything systematically such that if they see that one step in the funnel is not converting at the right rate, we're going to go back, we're going to analyze that, we're going to improve it until we can get that going at an industry standard rate. And then we're going to look where the next problem is in the funnel, all the way to the point of, hey, we see that the bulk of people are dropping off at the between 10 and 20 minutes into the webinar. So let's go back and review that and re-record the webinar and so on and so forth. That's a continuous process, right? We're in June now and we're still working on it. Yeah, we got to let off a little bit. It wasn't just full creation mode. But what I'm learning, I wrote in my journal the other day, you know, maybe I should just put in a week where I just did all the work related to this funnel. Excuse me. And I realized, no, that doesn't make any sense. What I need to do is have focus blocks on that every week in perpetuity, right? Where I'm looking at.
Yeah, it's never done. I think that's been such a hard lesson to learn as entrepreneurs is nothing's ever done. There's always opportunity to improve and to grow.
Right. But at the same time, you can take pride in making it better, right? And you just continue to make it better. And then the sales start to come in, and then they come in more, and then they come in more and more and faster because you actually made it better. It's just like any type of practice. So I guess I would challenge you, listener, to look at what you have in place already, what you've already created. And this isn't necessarily a PDF. This might be a talk that you gave. This might be a slide deck that you had. This might be your 30-second commercial at your networking event. It might be your business card. It might be the way you smile and give someone a handshake at a networking event. And so those are all things that you've created. They're part of your business. And they're all things that you can get better at. Maybe it's how you do the wording for the title of your next meetup on meetup.com. You can come up with some more examples, but all of those things are things you've created. That's money in the bank. So go back and make them better rather than, oh, it's not really working that good. I'm going to give up on that. I'm going to go off. I think I need a new X or a new Y or a new commercial. You can actually improve them and continue to improve them and get better and better and better. It's especially true for speeches or talks that you give. Have somebody review them. Ask people, did I suck? What parts were great? What parts sucked? You know, where were you leaning in? Where did you fall asleep? All opportunities for you to improve. And every time you improve, you have a better chance of pulling in clients.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Practice definitely makes perfect. You can even review your blog posts. Where can you tighten up your content? Where can you add more links that lead to opt-ins? It's one of the things that we were talking about this morning, is just that zeroing in on what your best stuff is and continuing to make your best stuff better, continuing to drive more people to your best stuff. So it's not always about creating new stuff. It's about improving and perfecting and sharing your best stuff, right? And that includes your stories. I keep thinking about our great conversation with Tiffany last week about, you know, building your brand. It's all about sharing your unique brilliance with the world. I loved how our businesses were so aligned, but also going into the archives, what have you written? What have you said? What have you shared that maybe you haven't talked about in a while that was something that really resonated with people, right? I owned a publishing company for 11 years. There's some crazy stories, some great stories, some successful stories, and some not so successful stories.
Yeah, lots of those.
Lots of those, right? That I could be sharing with people from those archives that really showcase some of the lessons that I've learned the hard way. And if I can share lessons I've learned the hard way and stop one other person from making that same mistake, I made a difference. So what's in your archive, in your story archive, that you can go back and really share with people? So it doesn't always have to be new. It can be a refresh, a repurpose, a repositioning. And I think that when you're constantly trying to create what's new, you get really caught up with decision fatigue. And it's a term that we've been hearing a lot around willpower, with taking care of ourselves, with self-care, around food, eating, alcohol, coffee, all those other things. It's the same in your business. That the longer the day gets, the harder it is to make decisions. And so your most creative space often comes like in little short bursts. What was it? Cheryl Strayed, right? She talked about being a binge writer. And I love that in an interview with Tim Ferriss. Maybe you're a binge creator. And that doesn't mean that between the binges, you're doing nothing. It's like between that creative burst and creative outpouring, you're going back to refine, retune, readjust.
So let me ask you this. So
are you asking me or our audience?
No, you.
Okay.
We're both pretty creative, but yeah. I think you tend more to it. So what do you do when you really want to create something new? And doesn't it sound really boring when Brad and Manette are saying, well, don't create something new, go back and make it better. Well, but then as a creative, your hands are tied. I don't get to go and color my new, gnomes that are going into the yard or whatever.
We have no garden gnomes. So I think it's a great question. It's a very valid question. So there, if you're watching on iTunes, you can see a big painting of wings behind me. And if not,
if you're watching
on YouTube, you can see the wings behind me. I channel my need to create into other areas and not always have to be my business to be the main source and focus of creativity. So it's really important to have outlets for creativity. And blogging can be a great outlet, right? But that doesn't mean you have to blog every day. It means you can put time, energy, and creativity into one fabulous blog post a week or even every 2 weeks, depending on how much time you have to give. So finding another channel for your creativity is one. But the second thing is always pulling it back to, is this going to connect you to your financial goals faster? Is it going to connect with your thematic goals, right? Is it on task and on target to attract more of the people that you want to be working with? So that's what I would say. As we totally witnessed this morning, what we had to do was to just really say, we don't need to create something new right now. We need to take something we've already done, repurpose it, polish it, reposition it, and put it back out there again. So I think it's asking the questions, is this aligned with my most important business goals?
Very nice. I love it. I think that might be all we have to say on this topic.
Well, we could probably go forever, but we have a life and so does everybody else listening.
Very nice. Okay. So sometimes it's okay to overcreate, but it shouldn't get in the way of your business. Yeah. You need to just, put the brakes on a little bit and go back and see what do you have that you created last year? You did that for a reason, right? You maybe it's an opt-in gift that has gone astray. Maybe it's an autoresponder, whatever it is. You put a lot of time into that and maybe it didn't work. Maybe the promotion just failed miserably. We have lots of those. Go back, look at it. You wrote those words for a reason.
Yeah.
Put a nice little new logo on it and get it back into something that's usable and something that you can test out some new ideas on. I really encourage you to do that. And you can get that running a lot faster than creating something brand new from scratch.
Yeah, totally. I love it. So I'm Dr. Manette Riordan. This is my amazing, fabulous, brilliant husband, Brad Dobson.
That's me. Amazing, fabulous, and brilliant now.
You get to own your brilliance. And we are the co-founders of the Path to Profit Academy, where we teach creative entrepreneurs how to make consistent income from their creative pursuits. We have a lot of fun doing it, as you have seen, and we actually create really great results for our clients. They go from having no clients to having a steady stream of clients, or having clients and being totally underpaid to making thousands and thousands of dollars a month. So if you need some support on how to get on the path to profit in your business, you can go to PathToProfitAcademy.com and just send us a message through the website. We'd love to connect. And in the meantime, go send us some love on iTunes. We really need some of those comments from you guys on iTunes. What do you really enjoy about the show? What would you like to hear more of? And if you've got great guests, be sure to send them our way as well. Until next time, we're Brad and Manette. We'll see you later.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.